Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
Welcome, everyone, to October. It's a brand new month, and we're three games into the preseason when this podcast is out. Actually, it'll be four games because we're recording on the Sunday. We'll be a week away from opening night when this podcast actually gets published to you. So that's exciting. I'm excited for it, but it doesn't seem like a lot of fans. I don't know. I just get the impression that a lot of Leafs Nation isn't into it quite yet. And it's all because of this whole thing, you know, they don't care about the regular season and it's just about the playoffs. Well, sorry to tell you guys, we got to get through the regular season. So it's time to get excited. Let's get behind the team. And I'm not trying to like deny the fact that it's been horrible experiences over the past few years, but we just got to move on, right? We're being like Mitch and Austin. We're moving on. We're not thinking about the past.
New season, new potential. So,
Yeah. And first of all, next, I'd just like to take some time to apologize to my co-host Syl. Basically, what it is I watch. We have a YouTube for listeners out there that haven't watched on our YouTube channel. We have a couple of interviews that we had on Hockey Time Machine, and on one of the interviews, the second one on September 9th that we did, I kind of gave the impression that I got Syl into the game, which is totally not true. I mean, I actually didn't think that I insinuated this to begin with, but Syl mentioned it to me. So I thought, okay, I got to watch this again. And I did. And yeah, it came out a little bit wrong. So Syl was, I just like to say right here that Syl was definitely a hockey fan well before she met me.
That's for darn sure. But of course, I do accept your apology. Yes. Let bygones be bygones. And we will move on. But yes, so you can find those two interviews on our YouTube channel, and we'd love for you to subscribe. And you can watch those two interviews where we were guests of the Hockey Time Machine, which is a YouTube hockey show. And we're so grateful that we had the opportunity to be on that show already twice. And hopefully we'll have more opportunities to be on there as well. And you will also be finding audio of our podcast episodes that are soon to be available there as well. So please share with your family, friends, and coworkers and spread the word about Ladies Talking Leafs.
Yes. Yeah. Please share, because that's a big thing for us. We're growing and we want to grow some more because we know there's tons of Leafs Nation out there that can listen to us. So it's a new season and we're excited and we want to share it with you. So up next, we just want to go over a few more important dates for this upcoming NHL season. The first date, I guess, is coming with from February 3rd to the 22nd is the Olympic break and the All-Star festivities, the All-Star game. It will be in Vegas. So it's all together in that little chunk there from the 3rd to the 22nd of February. Then March 13th is the Heritage Classic, where the Leafs are playing the Sabres in Hamilton at Tim Hortons Fields. That's what it's called, right? Yes. Yep. Yeah. And then March 21st is the trade deadline at 3:00 p.m. Eastern time. And then April 29th is the final day of the regular season.
And then moving into the postseason, the Stanley Cup playoffs begin on May 2nd. June 30th will be the last possible day for the Stanley Cup playoffs. After the playoffs are over and we've crowned a new champion, the July 7th will be the first round of the 2022 NHL draft. Rounds 2 to 7 will go on July 8th, and then the RFA-UFA signing period begins 12 p.m. Eastern on July 13th. All right, now let's get into the show. As we said, we're right in the middle of Leafs training camp, so there is still a lot of opportunity for the players to make a good impression on Sheldon Keefe and co. So with that in mind, we're going to talk about everything related to camp. So who's impressed, who hasn't, line combinations, the defense, and goaltending. And as a shout out to one of our top fans, Paul Baker, all the way from the UK, he commented on one of our Facebook posts and asked us to talk about this. So Paul, that part's for you.
Yes, and, thank you, Paul.
Yeah, and then we're also going to get into coaching. We have two assistant coaches, Spencer Carberry and Dean Chinwith, and they also recently gave head coach Sheldon Keefe a two-year contract. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right, so training camp. Like we said, we're three games in right now when we record this podcast. And who's impressed and who hasn't? So I'll let you go first, Syl, actually. Who's impressed for you? I'm surprising her with that.
Yeah. So but, who's impressed? Obviously, Michael Bunting has been impressive with his goal-scoring acumen.
And the same player there
too. Well, I had a feeling we might, because not, you know, not a lot of people that have, to me, not a lot of people have really stood out. Another person who's really impressed me, I would have to say, especially when we saw live on Friday, is Jason Spezza. That guy, I don't know what he's doing in the off season, but he is so spry and fast, and the way he keeps up with people, I'm pretty impressed with him for sure.
He doesn't take anything for granted, obviously.
No, he's definitely working hard on his body, and I know that players, as they get older, they do like fine-tune things, diet, exercise, all of those things. But and probably what he does also is different now than what he would have done when he was younger. Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with how he is. Like, he is really streaking down the ice and no trouble keeping up with people. So,
Oh, Michael Bunting for me. I mean, he's from Scarborough, yay, my hometown too. Mm-hmm. But he, definitely. I mean, I think in the last show, previous show, like, I don't know, I didn't know too much about him. So, but everybody was raving about or seemed to be very excited about what he was going to bring. Mm-hmm. And he's definitely showing that he can be that kind of Brad Marchand kind of annoying little idiot sort of thing, but it's glad to have him on our side. And just his demeanor and that, like, you could just see he's kind of like he likes to be a shit disturber, if I could say that here. Mm-hmm. and he's scoring goals, so that's good. So I think he's gonna be a pretty good replacement, like they said, for Zach Hyman as part of bringing that kind of little bit of nastiness or tenacity in the game. And then the other guy that I thought that I was impressed with was actually, he must have been listening to us from the last show, is Timothy Liljegren. Mm-hmm. And I actually feel sorry for the guy, though. I mean, he has been playing most of the time with Muzzin, but which always helps when you're playing with Jake Muzzin. But I feel kind of bad because I was reading in an article and I included it in the show notes, but it's kind of like he's screwed because of his contract, because he's making $925,000, I think, against the cap, and he has these bonuses. He has performance bonuses of like $400,000, which Robertson technically he doesn't have it, and even from last year, Rodion Amirov, he doesn't have any performances either, signing performance bonuses. So that part of it really, it goes against the cap. So it's going to be tight to include him, but he's played really well.
He's probably like, going to be really an up and down guy, like somebody who's down in the Marlies part of the time, up here some of the time. So that they can kind of massage those daily cap numbers.
I think he's played really well, though. But yeah, he might be a year away from, because depending on what happens with the Morgan Riley situation and all that, next year is going to be totally different, probably. Yeah.
An honorable mention that I do want to say for this section with who's impressed is David Kampf also. Even like, and again, this is why going to live games, you know, make it a priority, people. Scrape together your dollars and go, because you see things there that you don't always see on TV. But having said that, I mean, he did impress in the preseason game so far. But seeing him live, this guy is such a great skater. I think that is part of the reason why he is been as good as he is, because he's going to be really contributing too.
He's
100%, and that was not expected. So
offensively,
he may get more of an opportunity for that here than he was given in Chicago. So, I think that's another one to look out for.
Yeah. All right. So let's go on to who hasn't impressed. So for me, it's Wayne Simmons. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know he's a down lower in the lineup guy, but I don't know. I was expecting a little bit more energy from him in the games that he has played. He's played in Montreal. He played on a second line with Mikheyev and Semyonov. And then in Ottawa, he played as well with Kerfoot and Robertson, and that was on the top line. But I just didn't notice him a lot in there. Considering he's on, let's say, the top line in that game in Ottawa. It's not that he's been bad, but I just expect a little bit more oomph from him, I guess, some more where you'd notice him. And then the other guy actually is Travis Dermott. Now, that might be a good thing, because to me, he's been quiet on defense, which means you don't really... he's not making any major mistakes, I guess. So that's a good thing. But he did play with Riley in Montreal. And then in Ottawa, he played with Dahlstrom, who is somebody we got. I believe he's in the Vegas organization, but he played with their AHL team last year. Dermott, I don't know. But he's definitely got a spot. I mean, to me, he's got the number five position there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And... otherwise, and then like we were talking off air a little bit before we came on the show, the other guy I thought that I didn't notice. I noticed him a bit more in that blue and white game is Nick Robertson. Mm-hmm. But he's a young kid, and he's I was saying to Syl before we came on air that it's just that we want somebody that's like the youth, the up and coming players, like to see somebody that's noticeable, and he's really the only one that we know that has that kind of drive and tenacity, and he knows he's good, and but I don't know. I'm still looking for a little bit more from him.
Yeah.
Somehow. But yeah. So who hasn't really stood out that much?
Well, this is unfair to say because he hasn't played, but he doesn't impress me, and I just don't know how, when he does come back, he's going to be able to do anything to, and I just don't think they should give him a roster spot. I mean, it's Engvall. I don't know. Like, there's some new people that have been coming in, trying to make a name for themselves. I probably shouldn't have started with him, but I'm like, I don't know. Like, to me, he's not been good enough that after not being in training camp and all of that, I mean, I know he's probably hurt and everything, but I don't think he should just be handed a spot. So that's my say on Engvall. Other than that, the person who hasn't really, I'm going to say, and this might be unfair because he hasn't played with the full complement yet, Nick Ritchie hasn't really impressed me all that much yet. They're obviously going to give him a look, and we're going to talk about this probably in our next section here. But I wasn't that super impressed so far with him. So we'll see what he's got.
With Engvall, it's funny they are saying that, like, because he has to clear waivers if they're going to send him down.
Yeah.
Because I think it's $1.7 million against the cap, or $1.9 million that he has.
That basically gets us under.
Yeah, but they said that they were saying that, like, he's going to be picked up right away by somebody.
Yeah.
That he does have qualities that that teams want mm-hmm. and need sort of thing. So
yeah, but the thing is, like, this is probably, I don't know, is this a Dubas versus Keefe thing where one likes him more than the other? Like, I just don't think Keefe yeah. trusts him completely.
No, he doesn't. I don't think so either. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's that. Anyways. Would that be a bad thing if he gets picked off? I don't know. Sometimes I think that, yeah, I guess you want to keep all your assets. Yes, but anyways, we're going to have to get under the cap somehow anyway. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, with that in mind, let's get into the next thing we're going to talk about, which is all the line possible line combinations. So basically, we're just going to go line by line here. The biggest void all the way down is on the left side. So first line, obviously, with Matthews and Marner. Who you think's getting that spot from what we've seen so far?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is who we think potentially most likely will start opening night, basically, mm-hmm. the line combinations. And by the sounds of it, like, the first two lines are already set. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not going to become a huge thing. I would actually prefer it to be Bunting, but it looks as though Keefe is going with Richie on that top line. My choice is Bunting to go with Matthews and Marner, but he's going to try Richie at first. And I don't know, Keefe, I was just reading an article saying, like, he really has, Nick Richie has really good hands in tight around the net and that.
Well, we did see him score a pretty goal in the blue and white game there. So in that exact spot. So,
yeah, so it's going to, I think it's going to be Nick Richie on opening night. Do you think so too? Or do you have
another? Yeah, I definitely
do.
I think it's the same sort of situation, you know, when they signed their free agent guys, like last year, they signed Thornton and it was with one of the promises that he would get time on that top line to prove himself. I actually think probably the same promise was given to Richie. So he's going to get, you know, several games for sure to show that he can do something up there with them.
Yeah.
I guess we have to kind of put that, you know, Hyman thing out of our mind because he's not going to be him. He's going to bring something different to that combination.
Yeah. Well, he's a bigger body sort of thing. So it's going to be different that way.
Yeah.
And what about with Tavares and Nylander?
Well, I guess. Honestly, I would like to see Mikheyev get a shot there. I don't know if that's what they're going to go with. But I actually kind of liked the jump that I've seen in Mikheyev so far. And he's been putting it in
scored.
A little bit. Yeah.
More he scored in the blue and white game.
And he scored in the shootout too. So I kind of feel like he deserves a shot up there with them. But what do you think?
Yeah, and if he did make that trade request, like, I think... Yeah. And both Dubas and Keefe, I'm pretty sure that hopefully they both believe this, but they're both saying that they want Mikheyev to be a part of, like, he's an important part of the team. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, like, I'm thinking that they also might give him that opportunity with JT and Willie. Mm-hmm. But on opening night, do you think he'll get it, or do you think Bunting? Because I just put Bunting in there as my option with JT.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know. That wouldn't be my choice. I kind of would like, although he's, I don't know. It's tough because,
I mean, it's
another person that could be up there would be Kerfoot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because actually that was decent in the playoffs, you know, when he played up there on the wing too. So,
I don't think in the beginning he's going to get that. I mean, there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching on that left side, especially
trying people out with different combinations. I agree.
Yeah.
So then who's getting third center duties then?
Oh, well, I put in Kampf in there, mm-hmm. David Kampf. And I know I had the option Kampf / Kerfoot and again, but on opening night, I think it's going to be Kampf with Kasha because mm-hmm. they seem to have something. I don't know if they've played together on the Czech team before, but they are both Czech players and mm-hmm. they know each other really well. So, and hopefully Kasha will be healthy.
Yeah.
For quite a while to start the season, especially, and then moving on later in the season so that they can build something. They seem to have some chemistry already. And I just thought to put Kerfoot on the left side. I just thought, right. And then that sounds
like reasonable to me. But yeah. We still have like a lot of excess players. Like, yes, I don't know, where exactly are all these people going to go? So like, obviously you mentioned Simmons before. So then he's getting fourth line minutes with Spezza at center.
That's the thing. Yeah, and then Mikheyev on the left, but I can't. I can't see Mikheyev on the left because it's too low to be on the fourth line.
Yeah.
For him, right? So that's where there has to be something, like especially too, like for the cap purposes, and there's just too many players that they need to make a decision there. It'll probably be figured. I mean, some players are going to be sitting out, like even maybe Simmons might sit out a game.
Right.
Or two, or be in and out of the lineup a little bit. And even with Spezza, I mean, how old is he now? I should look that up actually. But is he 38? Is he? Or?
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up while we're here. But he's going to need like load management, I think, too, even though he looks good.
Yeah, but don't you think they'll do it like they did last year, more with his minutes rather than him completely sitting out games? You know?
Yeah.
Limiting him to under 10.
Yeah.
That seems to be his sweet spot.
Yeah, he turned 38 in June. So he's 38. That's what I thought. So that's who basically of the four lines, it's a lot of question marks there because of the excessive amount of extra player. We basically have three players for two spots really on the left side. But let's just say if Matthews isn't ready to start the season,
right,
it actually makes it somewhat easier. Then I thought if Matthews isn't ready to start the season, I thought like you'd put JT with Marner and put Mikheyev on the left side. And then add Kerfoot and Nylander together because they played together as well before, and put Richie on the left side, and then Kampf and Kasha, and put Bunting on the left side there. Mm-hmm. That's who I thought was if Matthews isn't ready to play game one, although he's looking like he's playing with the it's the no contact, but he's been taking reps with Marner and the team. So hopefully he is able to start the season that way. But and for the D pairings,
this is a little bit more cut and dry. There's not that
much. The top four are set.
For sure.
I don't think anybody. It's Riley and Brody, Muzzin and Hall. Basically our usual dependable four there. And then, I think it's Dermott basically as that fifth defenseman. And then who do you have as the sixth defenseman?
Oh, I think Sandin.
You think it's a lock?
I think Sandin is going to make it. Yeah. And I think Liljegren will probably be our seventh.
Yeah. Yeah. But with Liljegren though, I mean, I think you were mentioning it to me too, when we were at the game on Friday, that he needs to play, right?
I do.
He can't
agree
be sitting in the press box. Mm-hmm.
But that's why he will be kind of our taxi squad guy.
Yeah.
Meaning the taxi from between Coca-Cola Arena and Scotiabank Arena. The other thing is they need, like we just mentioned, there's cap implications also. And I really believe that the Leafs, they don't look at the cap situation as a yearly thing. They look at it as a daily thing. So they're going to be massaging that cap daily. So to kind of save the dollars where they can. So I think that he's probably going to be splitting time between the Marlies and the big club probably.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Who's our specialist again for the cap? It's
Pridham.
Right. Brandon Pridham. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He'll be making his money this year. That's for sure.
That's for darn sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, Yeah. So yeah. And yeah, the main thing, I guess, too, with Liljegren is when it comes to the cap, like he has these performance bonuses of 400,000, I guess. And so that really makes a difference when it comes to the cap.
He was one of the last Lamoriello picks, wasn't he? I think. So yeah, I think that Lou gave him that contract.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
there's still a few of those that are kind of, you know, making life more difficult.
Still there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's next?
Well, so we basically goaltending. Yeah. That's sort of a done deal. Obviously, we know it's Campbell and Mrazek that are going to be splitting time. It's going to take some time to get used to the tandem goalie system, I guess. But who do you think is going to get the start then on opening night?
I actually want it to be Mrazek, but I think it's going to be Campbell.
Do you think so? I actually think Mrazek's going to get the start for some reason.
I was going to say that, but yeah. I don't know. I just think that they still...
Well, they are like, loyal. And
not about probably, loyal, but I think Campbell, he's hard on himself.
Yeah.
Like, the way he talks to the media and all that, like maybe they, like, I don't know, in his head, like if that would be good to start off that way for him. That's why I was thinking that.
And it's a reward for what he did last year for us. So, yeah. I mean, you might be right, but I don't know. He looked good, Mrazek, actually.
He did, yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, he did. Mrazek is actually his agent. I didn't know this, but Miroslav Fritscher was his agent. His player agent for
I didn't know that.
A while. Yeah, yeah, so he has a really strong connection with him. And unfortunately, Miroslav Fritscher passed away, but he's honored him. Mrazek, we mentioned this on the last show, that he honored him by putting him on his mask along with Yuri Sirha, who was a goaltender for the Leafs back in the 80s. So, yeah, but I think it's going to be Campbell. We'll see. We'll have to go back on this after opening night and see where our predictions ended up.
Yep.
But there's going to be some tough decisions, that's for sure, for Sheldon Keefe to make.
I'm surprised that they haven't made cuts. I really was expecting that there would already have been cuts made yesterday, but more. I guess they're waiting, so.
Yeah, but that's why he gets paid he's getting paid the big bucks. And speaking of that, we're going to move on to the coaching here, talk about the head coach and his new assistants.
Mm-hmm. So Sheldon Keefe, obviously, the number one head honcho. He was just given a 2-year contract extension. His record as an NHL coach is 62 wins, 29 losses, and 12 overtime losses, which is a 660 win percentage, which is actually second among active coaches. So were you surprised to see those numbers, those stats, given how we all sort of feel right now?
Yeah. I was actually a bit surprised that they gave him the extension, but then I didn't realize that he's going into the final year of the contract.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, okay, well, then that makes sense. But something that actually, and the reason why I was surprised, I guess, too, like something he said in his opening presser, like at the start of just before training camp, they asked him, like, since he's been in the NHL, like what he's noticed, like what he still has to adjust to. I think that's how they worded it. But anyways, he talked about the pace of the NHL game being totally different than that of the AHL. He talked about that, like, again, he mentioned that.
And I don't think he's just talking about the pace of in-game play. I think he's talking about the pace of the actual schedule.
And he said, like, the practice time, the recovery time.
It's different.
Managing. Yeah, he's saying managing that is difficult.
Right.
I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's difficult, but you've been here. I know you came through partway after Mike Babcock. He came in November, so he didn't have a full season there in 2019-20. And then last season, again, was a shortened season with the COVID thing. But still, it technically was a complete season. And I just thought, I really hope you understand the pace of the game now.
I'm pretty sure he does. But I give kudos to him for being honest about that. I mean, there is a big difference between going to a city on a bus, playing three or four games in a row, and then having the rest week to practice with your team versus the travel that they have in the NHL and the days here and there that you get. And especially in the condensed season last year, I 100% agree that that would have been a little bit of a shock and something that takes time to adjust to. So,
no, he did. Sure. We haven't watched, just so that the people know out there, we haven't watched this All or Nothing series either, because that's going to bring a lot of more information when it comes to Sheldon Keefe and his coaching. We're psyching, or at least I am anyways. I don't know about Syl, but I'm psyching myself up to watch it before I actually do.
Well, at least there's no real spoilers because we kind of know how the season ended. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but what I think he needs to do is to find a more balanced lineup. And like Dubas now has given him a lot of options because he plays Matthews and he's very dependable, like to depend on Matthews and Marner all the time. Like he needs to kind of have some sort of second, like when it comes to offense and like to try and mix in JT and Willie a bit more there, like to give them a little bit more minutes.
Yeah, I would like to see that him change the timings a bit. Like there's no reason that Matthews and Marner, they're not so much better than those other two guys that they need to get 4 minutes more than them
exactly.
4 or 5 minutes more a game. Like that to me is ridiculous. So 100% agreed that they need to balance out the time on ice for all these guys.
But I mean, overall, I mean, the extension is fair. He gets the 2 years. It's really all about this year now. So he's getting the full training camp, the full season to work out into everything. So it's good. He deserves it considering all the things that have gone on. He hasn't had that complete regular 82 games schedule. I think I'm fine with it.
No, and he has a winning record. So really is like
true.
Yes. Like he hasn't gotten them over the hump in the playoffs, but with all the stuff that's gone on, he has a winning record. So really you're not getting, like, he's done really nothing to warrant him being canned. And of course the Leafs, we know they're a wealthy organization. they can afford to eat that last year if they need to. So
All right. So moving on to the assistant coaches, because there's two new assistant coaches that we haven't even spoken about at all, which is kind of, I know we mentioned this, I think, in August when we had our patio season podcast, but we didn't really get into it. So the two new assistant coaches, one of them is Spencer Carberry. He was AHL Coach of the Year last year with Hershey Bears, which is Washington Capitals AHL affiliate. And he's been put in charge of getting the Leafs PP going again, the power play. Oh my God. that power play is something else now. So this is going to be the third coach that power play specialist coach that's been hired for that. I guess there was that Paul McFarland originally who moved on, and then Manny Malhotra was in charge last year, and then now it's Spencer Carberry. So, what do you think of what the main thing that I've seen and that they've put out in the media is that, and we've seen it on the ice, is they're putting Marner in that bumper spot in the slot there, which a lot of people are saying it's good because Marner doesn't really have a shot, like, to be on the flank on either side. He doesn't really have, even though he's been practicing the shot and he wants to have that shot.
Yeah, he's not a threat to shoot from outside, really. So
yeah, he doesn't have the power shot, basically, to get a great shot from that distance.
Right.
Right. And so by being at that shorter different distance in front of the net, he might have he should have a better chance. Or
yeah, not to mention, and we kind of saw this a little bit because the third period of the blue and white game was all about specialty teams. And you can see that they're trying to get him, you know, going down that middle to either create a play or get a shot off. And So they were practicing that quite a bit. And I think because he's smart and agile, he probably could create more in tight there, either for himself or for his teammates. So, and yeah, it's actually, I did notice too, that gave room for the other players that are playing with him to be more mobile also. So yeah, I saw a lot more moving around.
Yeah, it's going to give a lot of, it's like that deceptiveness or the guessing game when it comes to him being in that position, I think. Like, you don't know what he's going to do with it. He could shoot, and from there, his shot is probably better. Mm-hmm. But he could also, being the playmaker that Mitch Marner is, he could also pass it off and get Willie or Matthews to give them the one-timer shots, basically.
Exactly.
That they're really good at. And the other thing, I guess, I was thinking maybe Mikheyev will get some time on the second power play unit, I was thinking, with Spezza, because he played last year on the power play, and maybe Bunting, I don't know, like as another option as a third or as a second power play unit. That's what I was thinking. But yeah, no, there's a lot of what I liked in that blue and white game too that we saw. We talked about it, was the communication. There's a lot of communication in that third period
where
100%. It was special teams. Mm-hmm. They were really trying to like figure out things sort of, because it's going to be totally new for all of them, that these that Spencer Carberry is
and I was like surprised, like for a game like that, like the discussions were quite intense. The body language was serious at times. At times it was light, but they looked like
you were saying Syl was saying that Willie was like a captain out there.
Yeah, he was serious. Like, I've never seen him like that. Although then, you know, 2 seconds later, he kind of, you know, turned his head and flashed a smile for someone to take a picture. But anyways, but yeah, so that was also good to see, because they're kind of, you know, they are taking responsibility. And I kind of saw that on the ice with the way they were acting with each other. Yeah. So that's also good to see, that I think more of it is kind of be putting on them, you know? Anyway, so on the other flip side of our specialty teams, we are looking at the penalty kill. And for that, they signed assistant coach Dean Chynoweth, who replaces Dave Haxtell, who moved on to coach the Seattle Kraken. So he comes to us from the Carolina Hurricanes organization, where he was an assistant coach, and he will be in charge of the D and penalty kill, which definitely needs improving, coming in at 24th in the league last season. A fun fact about Dean Chynoweth is that he was chosen in the same draft as Brendan Shanahan in the 1987 draft. Shanny was chosen second overall, and Dean was chosen 13th as a defenseman drafted by the New York Islanders. So interesting with the penalty kill. We came in the bottom half.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I just think, I looked up, Carolina was actually third in penalty killing in the league last year. Yeah. So they're pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's different players that they have there, but they got a really strong defense there. But from the sounds of it, like what I was hearing Tavares saying, that it's really... it's just the style is going to be more aggressive. They're going to be putting more pressure on the players instead of just leaving the opposition to kind of like gain the ozone so easily. They're going to be pressuring them all the time.
Yeah, so that's what even I have a quote here from Kerfoot saying the same thing. He basically said, if we're going to get beat through aggressiveness and not through passiveness. So that's actually kind of scary that he would use the word passiveness, meaning like, were you passive last year? I don't know. Do you really want to admit that? But anyway.
Yeah.
Like one of the things though that comes into play with Carolina as well is the fact that Mrazek was their goalie. Now it was a small sample size for the games that he played, because I think that he didn't have the whole season playing. One of the differences is that Freddie Anderson, apparently, from the article that I just read, was not very good shorthanded. He played.
I think I read that same article, why I didn't include it in our show notes.
Hey, well, I added it, so.
So I'll let you say it because I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, he played 48% of our shorthanded minutes, but allowed 62% of the shorthanded goals, where in contrast, Jack Campbell played 36% of our shorthanded minutes, but only allowed 17%. So as I said, Mrazek had a really good record shorthanded with Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, considering, like, yes, we came in 23rd, but we were eighth best for shots against. We were third best for neutering shots attempts and ninth best for expected goals against per 60 on the penalty kill. So, you know, yeah. Freddie could be a factor, and our new tandem, that might be part of the reason they went this route, given that those two guys that we have now have a better record shorthanded, let's say.
Yeah, they were also
just saying.
They were also saying that Dean Chenoweth may have had a extra hand in the fact that they got Mrazek.
Because
coming from Carolina,
right,
like with his advice, sort of thing. But
And also familiarity. Yeah. I think, you know, goaltenders, they're kind of like, you know, pitchers in baseball. I think they are much more routine oriented, and they have very specific things they like to do and ways they like to play. And knowing that you've got a coach that you're super familiar with, and you know what his tendencies and how he likes to do things, that's probably helpful.
Yeah,
when you're joining a new organization. So,
yeah, for sure. And one other off ice coach, I guess, that's going to make a big impact, at least we think so, is Greg Harden, who's been hired as the Leafs' peak performance coach. And at the end of the last season, all the talk was about the lack of killer instinct. So check out our show notes, actually, in the description in whatever app you're using. And at the bottom, you'll find a link to a good article on Greg Harden. And he's helped athletes like Tom Brady and Michael Phelps, apparently.
Yeah, and we know those guys never won anything, right?
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how. I know a lot of like Spezza has actually talked to him. I saw something about Jason Spezza talking to him, and Wayne Simmonds as well has already had some, I guess, sessions with Greg Harden. So that's well, it'll be interesting to see if Greg Harden can be a part of bringing the killer instinct to us. I don't know, to our team. But
it's all about developing confidence, right? So, and keeping that confidence when it really matters. So,
yeah. And the only guy we haven't mentioned, really, we mentioned briefly, is Manny Malhotra, who is still an assistant with the Leafs and will also be behind the bench. And Sheldon Keefe actually did say it was kind of difficult for him to tell him that he won't be running the power play this season. But he's still going to be there as a support. So it's really going to be a bit crowded. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to have to look behind the bench the first night to see the four guys there in behind the bench, and we will see how it goes. And then a quick note before we go, just about the Leafs goal song. We want to get into this Hall & Oates gold song, that goal song that a lot of people aren't fans of. We like Hall & Oates, but anyways, if you saw our posts on social media this past weekend, you would know we were at the Blue and White game, and we actually didn't hear Hall & Oates. So maybe it changes in the works. I don't know.
It's interesting. Yeah, they didn't play that song after any of the goals. One song that did kind of stick out to me was Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue. They didn't really stick with it. I think they played it for like a couple. So I think they might be trying out some different flavors just to see what kind of fan engagement there was with some of these different songs. So maybe a change is on the horizon. Anyway, I think part of the reason is that people are sick of it because there's just nothing not much positive associated with that song, you know? So we kind of need to change, start fresh with something new, maybe. I can like that song again because now I'm kind of sick of it. So, yeah.
But so a lot of Loose Nation will probably be happy that we've said this. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But before we go, we want to thank all our listeners, and we would love to hear from you. If you have any thoughts on what we talked about on the show today, you can DM us on social media or email us at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on social media on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Our handle is @LTL1917.
And another way to connect with us is at Ko-fi.com. We just posted some photos that we took at the Blue and White game, which we'd love you to check out. And while you're there, please follow us. And if you choose to, you can also support us by buying us a coffee. So any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. Find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
As always, thank you to our healthcare workers for everything they've done and continue to do. Thank you for listening, and please follow or subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite app. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict, we would appreciate it if you could take the time to give us a review. We'd love to get your feedback on the show, and it will help to give us more exposure as an outlet for Leaf content.
Mm-hmm. So stay safe and well, everybody, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy the rest of the preseason and get ready for the regular season to start October 13th versus the Habs. Go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs, go!